Come on, let's bless the Lord. Come on, hallelujah. You know, when something happens in one of our brothers and sisters' lives, the Bible says to rejoice with them that rejoice. And so, you know, we don't want to be left on the outside of that. We want to be a part of every celebration. And when things happen in others' lives, that's your offering back to God, saying, Lord, what you did for Amanda's son, Lord, now I needed to do it for my son. And just as she mentioned, her daughter's had some issues, and God brought her through, and her son's having, but see, your God is a God of remembrance. And that's why you can remind God, say, Lord, I know you can do it. And so we celebrate with Sister McCoy, and certainly our prayers will continually go out for Tim and for Sister Poe's boy as well. She calls him Bodie, but for him in Tennessee and for all of our children, our sons and our daughters, our husbands, our wives, we're family. Yes. Amen. I won't do the We Are Family song, but we are family. A young man here today, California now, but used to be here with us. God moves us all over the place.
Yes, he does.
But we never disconnect. If we got any good sense, we'll always keep connecting. And when something happens to one of us, it's happening to all of us. And as she said, thank you for whatever you did. And some of us, you know, we prayed more and we thought of her more. And some of us only in glancing moments, but all of it was sent up to heaven. And God heard every bit of it. And so, as my mother used to say, my grandmother and a lot of them old folks say, you never know who prayers you're making it on.
Come on now.
And when people pray for you, that's something. Amen. So we thank God for that. And again, we continue to pray and for all of us. Amen. 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 God bless you. Grab your Bibles. We're going to move right along. We're going to move because people was in front of me. Slowed this thing down. I had a plan. So now I got to do something different. Acts chapter 2. Uh-huh. Acts chapter 2. Amen. Acts chapter 2. And
Amen.
All right. I hear pages and smart devices are fired up. Acts chapter 2. Start at verse 1. Here's what it says. New Living Translation. On the day of Pentecost, 7 weeks after Jesus' resurrection, the believers were meeting together in one place. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Amen. Thank you, ushers. God bless you. Thank you to the young walkers and Sister Brogan and to all of you who have served today. I've spent some time with you in the last few weeks as we came out of the resurrection and to start a series of preaching on cultivating the character of the post-Calvary church. And I warned you as well as and asked for your encouragement that we got a journey to take here.
Well,
and so we've talked about praise. We've talked about purpose. We've talked about position. We've talked about performance. We talked last week about the possession now that must become our productivity. And today we're going to talk about putting it into practice. Putting it into practice. And I need you to understand, children of God, that you cannot play well together if you don't practice together.
Well.
Amen. And in the last few weeks, as we are now moving into the NFL training phases, they call them OTAs, organized team activities, these are held in prescribed places. And those players who play for the Dallas Cowboys meet in Frisco, Texas. The Philadelphia Eagles meet in a junkyard somewhere outside of Philadelphia. The Baltimore Ravens meet down on the shipyard behind an old raggedy tugboat. The Washington Redskins meet in a jailhouse outside of Petersburg. Amen. But they meet in prescribed places. And they meet together. And they all come with one agenda. They all come. They get their playbooks and they go to their training regiments. They start to eat different. They get some of these guys have million-dollar homes, but they live in hotels, two to a room. And they have to go by a schedule. And the reason they're doing that is about practice. They're now getting ready to put into practice so that eventually they can go back to what we talked about a little earlier, performance. And I know some of you are sitting here thinking you're deep and methodical people. You're saying, well, you put performance in front of practice. Well, that was purposeful in that we understand what's expected of us before we start practicing. You got to know how we want this to turn out. There's a saying, Jesse, that says that the ends do indeed justify the means. Now, some argue that. Some say that it doesn't. Some say that it does. But what we do now is a part of what we said we do when we get it done. How we turn out has already been prescribed to us. Just like a medicine that you take, those of you who are on medicine, a prescription, at the end of those cycles of medicine, there's an expectation. Some of you, of course, be on medicine for the rest of your life, and that's fine. You need to take that. But the reality for us in the church is God has already told us how we ought to turn out. And what's going to happen when we turn out? Where we going to be when it turns out? What it's going to be like? Y'all ain't getting excited. When it turns out. And what he's saying now is before all of that can happen, you got to come together and start putting it into practice. What we are is right in front of us. Whose we are is right in front of us. How to become that is right in front of us. And so the Bible says on the day of Pentecost, after Jesus' resurrection, all of the believers. Now we know that this was not the whole universal church. This group is mostly comprised of the 11 that remain and Mary and Mother Joseph, that kind of group, and about 120 other folk. Came on, read chapter 1, you get it. But they all came together. So they would now begin church management. Yes. Amen. That's why they came. They continued so that, here's one, and I'll hurry along. Here's one. So, Sandra, this is what they want to do. They wanted to be able to sort out and sort through the meaningfulness of ministry. Can I help some of y'all who are not overly excited about Greater Brookville and overexcited about vision and mission? You really need to look into the meaningfulness of our ministry. Well, you ought to ask yourself every now and then, what would happen if there was no Brookville? What would happen if we did not serve our young people? What would happen if we did not have a senior care ministry? What would happen if we didn't have a choir? What would happen? You have to sort through it and sort out the meaningfulness of ministry. Remember the angel of the Lord just said that, why y'all standing right here? You're not going to get anything done gazing at the sky. And we ought to always be interested in sorting through the meaningfulness of ministry. There's a song that said, I sing because I'm happy. I sing. You ought to be able to self-identify with what you do in the body of Christ. There they are, all of them together, Peter, James, and John, all of them, the 11 that yet remain, and they are congregating together. They didn't say, well, I'm going on back and start my little storefront church over here, or I'm going back over here. They listen, before you can go out, you got to come in.
nudge your neighbor and say, see there. You have a people who came together to sort out the meaningfulness. They had to work it out. Rudy, they said, well, but Jesus is gone. He said that, check. He said he'd be back, check. He told us to do some stuff, check. And so they worked through it. Now, you need to do this in your life. You really do. Look at your neighbor and say, you really need checklists. Amen. You need to, you got to stop getting up in the morning haphazardly. Got to stop getting up and say, well, I'm just going to bump around the day. I'm just going to see what happens. I'm going to let the chips fall where they may. No! Stack your chips.
Yeah, well.
Organize your chips.
Well.
Count them up and know what you're working with. Yeah. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
And know why. God is good. You ought to be angry if God ain't called you.
Come on now.
Look how quiet everybody get. You ought to be mad if God ain't gave you something to do. You ought to feel some kind of left out if you ain't doing something that's meaningful to the ministry.
Yeah, man.
Then second thing they did, I'm almost there, Chris. Second thing they did is they made their ministry a matter of importance. You ought to feel some kind of value about what you do.
Well,
you ought to have an "I got this" mentality. You ought to know that song you sang touched somebody's heart.
Well,
that hospitality ministry, that piece of chicken and biscuit and them green beans that show up at every church meeting. You ought to know that when you put that on somebody's plate, not only did you feed them physically, but there was a spiritual message in that. Yeah, you ought to be able to know that you are so critically important to the now that without your now contribution, there is no then.
Yeah.
Boy, I wish y'all would have caught me.
Come on now.
You are making it happen not only today, but tomorrow.
Well,
you got to have that kind of, they wanted to make sure that there was some importance to why. And so they made sure, and the Bible says, when they got to that house, they all went upstairs.
Yeah.
Got in the room together and start talking things out.
Come on,
watch what they did. Here's really critical. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 14 says this, Sister McCoy, it says that they all met together, watch this now, and were constantly united in prayer. Nothing they say, come on, pray with me.
Come on, pray with me.
Watch this, constantly united. They came together. And first thing they say we ought to do is pray.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, let us pray. Mm-hmm. And let us pray. It means just that. No, they didn't say, well, y'all go ahead. Y'all finish praying, y'all let me know.
Yeah.
They came together. Uh-huh. Together.
Right.
And pray. Now I want to slow down because I really believe some of y'all underestimate and have tragically devalued prayer.
Oh, Pastor.
God bless our daughter, mother here in the church, just mentioned to you that prayer has made a difference.
Yes, it is.
The doctors did their part, nurses, ambulatory folk, and all that. But she said, I appreciate y'all praying. Because some of y'all ain't no doctor.
Come on, Pastor.
I don't think none of y'all a doctor. Amen. Some of y'all don't know how to do CPR and that kind of stuff. But you know how to pray. And constantly praying is a good character of the post-Calvary church. They were there, and the Bible says that all of them were in one place.
Yeah.
I'm going to mention that here. I ain't got much time. I had to shortcut it, but I really believe that when we and where we and why we makes a difference when it comes to meeting.
Amen.
You know, we don't move this thing around like no traveling tent. We don't have undisclosed location. You know, Adam West died yesterday. Batman is gone. And we all going to be worse off for it. But one of the things I just love about Batman, Eric, was the Bat Cave.
Yeah.
That, Batcave. Nobody knew where the Batcave was except Batman, Robin, and Alfred.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody else knew. And if Batman was going to take you to the Batcave, he sprayed you with some knockout juice. I don't even think Batman had a license for that stuff. He just going around spraying stuff in people's face. And everybody go to sleep and wake up and see where the Batcave is. But we don't move the church around like an undisclosed location. We've been in 1916 for 140 something years.
Come on now.
And folks still can't find the church.
Well.
Folks pass by and say, oh, there he is. And we have to understand that the when, the why, and the where is important for us. All these believers were from all over the place, but they found that room. I don't know if they had a sign out front. I don't know if they had a shingle. Probably didn't because they were still kind of scared. But here's the key. They came constantly.
Yes, sir.
And they knew the agenda. Some of us come to church, Deacon Walker. I stand up here and look out there sometimes, look like some of y'all confused. We come to worship. The old song he's singing in the church. Say, I don't know what you come to do. And folks will go around the room. And where some of y'all look at me right now, I feel like singing, I don't know what you come to do. Listen, I know why I come. I know who I come to see. I know what I want to say to him. I know how I feel about him. And I want him to know how I feel about him. Said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. Said I wasn't going to run for Jesus, but I ran anyhow. Said I wasn't going to jump up and down, but I jumped up and down. I was listening to the song. They said, come on, clap your hands if you love Jesus. And some of y'all didn't clap your hands.
Well,
I saw you. Man said, clap your hands if you love Jesus. Clap your hands. And some of y'all sitting there like this. That's scary to me. When and the why and the what matter to us. And they came, all of them. And then when they came again, they're making their ministry a matter of importance. Peter stood up. Said, let's get down to business. Amen. Y'all help me. I'll be finished. Peter stood up, got down to business. Peter said, now, brothers and sisters, Judas is dead.
Yeah.
Judas is gone. And he said, Judas committed some crime. He led folk to Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Jesus taking account.
Yeah.
He said, but it was supposed to be that way. But Peter says, we still got ministry to do now. We can't stop because of Judas.
Yeah.
Now you're thinking to yourself, Pastor, where are you going with that? Well, let me show you where I'm going. Let me say this to you. There are some folk who don't want to stay with us.
Well,
they're going to leave. But I'm going to say to you what the Lord said to Samuel.
Well,
how long are you going to mourn over Saul?
Yes.
When people leave, hey, they gone. We can't keep sitting around time. I sure miss Russ so-and-so, and I wonder why they did what they had to do.
Right.
They did what they felt led to do. But we cannot hold up Greater Brookville Church mourning over who ain't here no more. Y'all see what I'm trying to say? You gotta understand that whenever people leave, that's a good indicator that they gone.
Well,
y'all didn't think it's gonna get no deeper than that, did you? That's just it. When they leave, they gone. You don't see them 1-2 Sundays, and you know they ain't nobody sick no more, and you don't think you saw them in Kroger Saturday, and you saw them at the Elks, and you saw them down at the riverfront. I saw somebody on Facebook say George Clinton and Funkadelic coming to Lynchburg. I said, well, that'll be the end of it. You know, I thought being out here, we were free from that kind of stuff. But if Pete Funk come, it's over. Lynchburg will never, ever, ever be the same. Some of y'all right now done gone and bought your little big lighter. Got your little flashlight ready. Done got your little funky outfit ready. And I'm going down there to see how many church folk I'm just going to see how many church folk. I'm not going. I'm going to see how many church. I'm not going to the con. I didn't want to see how many of y'all worship down there and won't worship in here. Because I know when George Clinton start getting with it, y'all going to get with him. And I'm standing up here, and the choir's up here, and the musicians up here, and some of y'all didn't clap your hands if you love Jesus. But when George Clinton come to town, see what I'm saying? You can't keep worrying about who's not here anymore. You, and then the other thing is, let me give you this. I'm about finished, Deacon Anderson. I'm about finished. You need to understand that I'm convinced, and this is my soapbox here. But I'm convinced that one of the reasons we are hindered from vision and ministry is because too many of y'all live in hindsight. You can have vision and ministry with hindsight. We're hindered because too many of us looking back all the time. Talk about what used to be and what could have been and who ain't here. We don't need to worry about that no more. Peter stood up and said, hey, time to move on. Said, what we need to do now is start adding some people. That's what he said. Read the Bible. Peter stood up and said, listen, let's put somebody else in his position.
Well,
but Tyler, folk don't want to sing no more. Put somebody else
Amen.
In their position.
Amen.
Deacon, when another deacon don't want to deacon no more, put somebody else in their position. Says Price, when they don't want a trustee, like trustees are trustee, put somebody else in their position.
Yeah.
Says Usher, when they don't want to usher, don't be telling, I show me. Put somebody else.
Yeah.
Now here's the key, Deacon Walker. You got to be somebody to put in the position. It's right in the text. I'm about finished. Right here in the text. The text said, Tom Butterfield, that Peter said, here's the criteria. Let's choose from among us folk who have been with us the whole time.
Yeah. Amen.
Look, y'all didn't even know the clap right there.
On,
let me tell you what we keep doing. We keep talking about when somebody else come. When some new people come, we go. No, you put in position folk who have been with us. And then when other folk come, we'll train them for the time of their promotion.
Yeah.
Every church ought to have a next man up mentality.
Yeah. Amen.
I put out a list back in January, Deacon Dave, you remember, asked for people to get in position. I'm worse off than Donald Trump. Donald Trump can't fill his cabinet. I can't fill mine either. I still need a finance secretary. I still need a treasurer. I still need a I mean, it's just a potpourri of ministry opportunity.
Yeah.
And I'm convinced that one of the reasons we can't fill those ministry opportunities is folk don't think there's an opportunity for ministry.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, you bring a little something.
Amen.
Yes, you do. Peter said, listen, let's get somebody. Let's look out here right now and get somebody. People who have proven themselves to be lovers of God.
Well,
it's right in the text. Here's another thing. Let me help you get this one, and then we can go on about our business. Here it is. Just see, I'm sliding a little thing right here. Y'all didn't see me sliding a little thing. I could always slide it back. Here it is. The body of believers should never have a fountain or a well that goes dry.
Amen.
There ought to always be a next man up. You ought to be looking at somebody right now and say, boy, one of these days, that's going to be me. I'm going to be president of the usher ministry or chairman of this. Or one of these days, I'm going to take the lead. They're sitting here with throwing rocks and hiding your hands. Y'all say, one of these days, I want to be the one. I want to be the chief this and the big ball of that. And I want the Lord to get a greater glory out of my household.
Yeah.
I want my son, you ought to egg your children on and encourage your sister-in-law and brother-in-law and encourage your deacons and trustees and pastors and preachers and say, look at here, you did all right, but you can do better.
Yeah.
And you ought to say, there's no reason our church should have vacancies when we have all of these gifted people. See how quiet everybody is? Because you're so afraid I'm going to ask you to do something. Well, I shouldn't have to ask you. You ought to tell me what you want to do. Pastor, I want that job. I want to serve God. I've been in this church all these years, and I want my name on something.
Amen.
Amen. Peter stood up and said, all right, let's pick somebody. And watch what he said. I like this. He said, and whoever joins us must be a witness to the resurrection.
Well,
I'll be able to tell a story. I want to ask a question here, Rudy. I want to ask him, when was the last time some of y'all told a story? That's what Peter said. That one of the criteria is that they got to be a witness. They got to join us and tell the story. Some of y'all looking at me like you're looking at me, because you know I'm right about it. Talk about everything else. Talk about the bold and the beautiful, young and the restless, empire, scandal, the blacklist. You know all that, but I ain't heard you talk about the stove.
Well,
you sit around at your workplace, and y'all come in and do the review. Boy, if Cookie Lucius didn't get down the other night, if Jamal didn't sing that song, you ain't saying nothing about Jesus.
Come on now.
You sit around the water cooler, talking about Raymond Reddington, Elizabeth King. Don't look at me like y'all don't know these people. Y'all don't? Well, if I said Peter, James, and John, would that get a rise out of it?
Yes.
Moses, Elijah, and Ezekiel?
Yes.
Oh, now y'all trying to act all churchy with me. There, see how they treat me? But the reality for us is they got to be able to do the ministry of importance. They pray. I'm done here, most directly, but that's my selling point here about putting into practice. They pray. We're back to it again. Now, y'all know where I'm going with this one. You can see it coming. But they prayed. And all the things they did, what they did more than anything, was praying. Not some of them prayed. Not just the pastor, not just the deacon. You know, we come around here, and I put a little note right here. Said, Leroy, be careful. See, come here. I want you to verify. Because they think I'd be playing. I put it in red. I said, what did I say? Leroy. Be careful here. Because I know when I start talking about stuff that matters and get me a little warm, y'all start getting distant. But if we don't pray, we ain't going to get nothing done.
That's right.
We can have money. We can have a pretty church. But if we ain't praying,
right. We
don't get nothing done.
Right.
And I'm convinced... Leroy, be careful. I'm convinced that one of the reasons we are stuck, stagnant, stymied, is because we ain't praying. Don't tell me about you praying at home. I call for an organized prayer at the church. You ought to come to the church. I just read it to you earlier. They knew the when, the where, they knew the why, they knew the who, and they said, let's go. They have no Lexus, no Mercedes. They have no Impalas. They have no Nissans. They walked. In fact, if you read chapter 1, it said they went about a half mile down the road. Some of y'all live around the corner, up the street, and down the hill. And won't come. Some of y'all can't even get home without driving by the church. And won't stop to pray. Then you have the nerve to come to me when you're going on your vacation and run up road time. Pastor, pray for us traveling mercy. So you want us to pray on your convenience. But it's inconvenience to get you to pray with us.
Yes.
Come on, talk to us. I said, Leroy, be careful.
Yes,
I didn't say don't say it. I just said be careful because I'm going to say it.
Right.
If we don't pray around here,
yes,
shame on us.
Pray.
They came together and prayed. And then they said that they said, Lord, you lead.
Yes.
Look at the prayer. They said, Lord, show us which one of these to pick.
Yeah.
See, that's the other thing. You amaze me, GBC. You can always point out what you want God to do for you. But you won't let him point out what he wants you to do for him. Jack White, everybody got right there. You got to be careful putting your agenda before God and not letting God's agenda be before you. God will change it. Here's what the Bible said. The Bible said, our steps are ordered by the Lord. When was the last time you went where the Lord told you to go? Said what the Lord told you to say. Did what the Lord told you to do. You got to be careful. You don't pray enough. They pray. They didn't pray standard prayer.
Well,
they didn't pray good sounding prayer. They prayed because it was important for guidance, for wisdom, for instruction. Lord, show us. That's what they say. And I need you to pray that. I need you to stop being selfish. You already got a car. Buying a new one means another car payment.
Well,
you got a house. Kids are getting, and sometime now, kids out of school, and some of y'all going to college and all that. But let's pray for his agenda.
Amen.
See how quiet everybody is. Nobody ain't shouting, nobody ain't waving, nobody ain't saying, go ahead, Reverend, you write about it. But I am.
Amen.
I mean, God has been good to y'all.
Yes, he has.
God has been good to y'all. No, God been good to all of y'all. God been good to y'all. And they said, Lord, show us. Here's what I like. He reminded them, he said, now, remember, Judah's gone.
That's right.
Just want to let y'all know. He said, he said, in the conscience of their prayer, he said, Lord, he deserted us and gone where he belongs. I put another Leroy, be careful because you know where Judas went. And I really want to say it, but I put it, Leroy, be careful. Because Miss Davis will have a heart attack and they charge me with accessory to murder. But the reality is, some folk need to recognize that if you ain't careful, you're going to end up with Judas. You betray the Lord one more time. Disconnect from you, you're going to end up. You got to be real careful. You take your hand out of God's hand. Yeah? Because you don't have to be old to die. You don't have to have a bad investment to go broke. God has a way of showing you his displeasure. God said, you be careful when your cows get fat and your fields grow over. And he said, because I will come in and change all of it. Just because I came. And some of us have gotten a little fat around here. We're doing real good right now, and our worship done changed. Some of us, when we were struggling, we jumped and shouted and prayed. Now we done got comfortable. We ain't doing all that no more. God is still watching you. Yeah, God is still. I know you got that promotion now, and you got that job, and your hair done grown back, and your car ain't back fine, and your children calling your mom and daddy, and your husband buying you flowers, but God is still watching you. God said, I did it for you. Now what you gonna do for me? Remember those lepers? One of them came back and said, thank you. We don't even read anywhere in the scripture where God cursed the other one that took it back. I'm sure he let them go on about their business. But I need to know right now, would you at least come back? Would you at least tell him thank you? You done got the fat job. You done got the promotion. You're doing all that you asked God to do. Can you at least come back and tell him thank you? Can you serve him better? Will you pray a little longer? Would you give a little bit more? Because God is still watching. Our ministry must move from melancholy and mismanagement, mediocrity. I'm done. This is my last little note here. You've got to learn how to put into practice your praise,
amen,
your purpose,
yes,
your position. God didn't call you just sit in a chair and look big and have folk bow and curtsy to you. God called you to do something with that. He said, I made you a king.
Yes.
I've given you this and give you that. Now let me see what you're going to do. To whom much is given? Some of y'all said, well, I don't have much. Well, maybe God's trying to tell you what your level of trust is. They got quiet everybody. You are not to be idle. Put that thing in gear. You are gifted. Now you got to start practicing.
Yes.
Practice takes something out of you. I used to tell my players, tell my soldiers, how you practice is how you perform. You can never perform above your level of practice. That's called getting lucky. Never become a champion just by getting lucky. And so it is. He said, listen, you got to do what you got to do. Now, Sandra, I said I was going to keep it short, so I'll tell you the three things I was going to talk a lot about, but I'll just tell you about it. Here's how you do it. Want to know how you do it? How you do it? Here's how you do it. First of all, if you're going to put into practice becoming the character church based on post-Calvary, one. You got to be present.
Yeah.
I talked about it earlier. This summer, you got to be present. Here's what I said. They were meeting together. Yeah. See, some of y'all come to church some Sundays. Is that quiet, everybody?
Yeah.
Some of y'all come. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you work for Miss Charlie every day. For 40 years. And only come to church some Sundays. Here it is. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Okay, so they met. They were present. We don't call a roll, but I can see. Somebody once told me this. I'm going to put it out there right quick. Somebody once said, Pastor, when you ain't here, it ain't the same. I said, well, that's good. I said, because I ain't there don't mean you can't be there.
Right.
I said, no. Don't not come because I ain't there. Don't be driving by my car in there talking, well, we moving on. You didn't come to worship me. You might have come to worship with me. But just because I'm not here don't mean you go down to somebody. No, this is where God put you. This is your assignment. You know, if you assign to the 110th, you can't go to the 24th ward and sign in.
Well,
I got
it.
So you got to meet together. They know
the where.
Yes. They know the why. They know the when. They know the who. That's critical. Second thing is, Sandra, I'm trying to move on. Second thing is, there was an agreement to assemble. There was an agreed upon time to be there.
Right.
9:30. 6 o'clock,
amen.
12 noon,
amen.
10:45.
Come on now.
You do know that our worship starts at 10:45.
Amen.
Anybody sitting in this room right now thought that our worship started at 11 o'clock? You ain't paid attention in a long time.
Amen.
It's been 10:45 for a long time. That's when the praise ministry is supposed to come out and be ready. And I really want to throw a little sidebar on the praise ministry. Y'all need to stop playing with me. Because at 10:45, you can be sitting right here if you want to, but you ought to be ready to go. You hold up worship. You want to know why we always get out late? It's the praise team. Because if they don't start on time, I can't go on time. Mr. Tyler, keep walking. See, I slid that in, Sandra. Listen, if we don't start on time, I got to get mine in. Y'all know it take me 35, 40 minutes of good preaching. So if they start at 10:45, by 11 o'clock, I'll be ready. And we just tick, 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 tick. Then y'all hear me say, "Day, what gets me behind is the people in front of me." Thank you, Addison. 10:45. Then, watch this now. And here's sub point two. Here's sub point two, Ron. You watch this. They agreed to assemble. But when they assemble, they agree. We got too much stuff going on in this church. I knew I was going to get in trouble, Sandra, but I'm going to do it. You can't be coming up in here with no attitude about what's going on and what time. No, when they had agreed to assemble, and then when they assembled, they agreed. They all wanted the who, the what, the when, the why to go to the front. Watch this. Here's what Bob said. Bob said, 1 Peter, I'm done. 1 Peter chapter 2, get rid of all evil behavior. Yeah. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, any unkind speech. Watch this. He says, so that you can grow into the full experience of your salvation. I don't know about you, but I don't come to church for no foolishness. I come to praise the Lord. I come to feel better. I come to see you feel better. I wanted your children to feel better. I want to get my energy up. I want to get my stress off. I don't come for no foolishness. When you come to assemble, bring a spirit of agreement.
Wow.
Ought to be some, go ahead, pastor. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead, sister. When people don't agree, that's division.
Yeah. Amen.
They didn't have that. I said they were all together.
Yes.
They agreed to be there.
Yes.
And Bob said anybody that didn't want to be there,
right,
wasn't there.
Right. Come on now.
He said, Pastor, what verse is that? It's in the hidden text. Because, I'm telling you why I know that. Because if anybody was there that didn't want to be there, they would never have printed that they were all together on one accord. So any unbelievers just didn't show up. Here it is, Sandra. Second thing, be present. When you're present, you got to agree to be a similar agree. Second thing is, you got to understand that you got to be a willing participant.
Come on now.
Now, young Beverly, I'm going to get in trouble here. And I'm just gonna go and get out of the way. It's time to go, but I'm gonna get in trouble. You know, I'm really kind of tired. People coming in here doing everything but church.
Come on, Pastor.
Yeah, I'm really on the edge of banning electronic devices, coloring books, toys, sodas. Because I'm standing up here and I'm looking at y'all children playing games while I'm preaching, while I'm teaching, and I'm about tired of that, because the next generation will never do church right if we don't train them right now. They put that darn thing down. Turn that darn thing off. Your pastor is preaching. Only thing y'all need to be doing is saying amen. And looking at me, I'm tired of looking at heads being down and faces lighting up in a tint of blue while I'm preaching. And y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all just looking at them. I'm not here to entertain nobody. This ain't entertainment hour. This is the enrichment hour. You entertain them on your way home. You tell them when you get in church, don't let me look down there and see you Facebooking, Snapchatting, Instagram, Pinterest. You better be looking at the pastor. And if you ain't looking, you better be bumping your head on the back of the pew.
Amen.
See how quiet everybody is?
Yeah.
I don't care. They were willing participants.
Yeah.
You come to church, John Brown, and you come into church.
Yeah.
They don't field trip.
Amen.
Your children too old to be playing in church.
Come on,
even a little bitty baby got better than that. I ain't put up them little bitty ones. But them ones who got a phone of their own, if them little Negroes can have their own phone, they got an attention span.
Yeah.
See how quiet y'all getting right there? We didn't come here for that stuff, man. You remember what our mama used to do to us when we were paying attention in church? We got our head slapped in front of people. We got some parents right now got some comeback time to jail for child abuse. You didn't get to bring no toys to church.
Amen.
See how quiet everybody is?
Amen.
But in the text is show. The Bible, look, here it is. Watch what the text says. The text says, it filled the house where they were sitting. You know why? Because they were paying attention.
Amen.
Watch this. And it settled on each of them. You know why some of y'all ain't gonna never catch the Holy Ghost? You distracted. Some of y'all ain't gonna never shout because you distracted. You paying attention. You done missed the move of God because you busy playing a game, passing a note, or sucking your teeth because you got an attitude. You in the assembly, you ought to agree to assemble and assemble because you agree. You know where I go when I want to laugh? To somewhere that's funny. When I'm hungry, I go to a restaurant.
Come on, man. Come on,
man. I don't want to see a movie, I go to the theater.
Come on,
when I come to church, I want to see Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't come out of all crazy stuff. That's why I don't like to have church meetings, because people get distracted. I know you're saying, it's 1 o'clock. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Praise team.
Amen.
Y'all start on time?
Yes, sir. I'll be right here. Ready.
Sandra, why you didn't stop me? Here it is. Last thing. They were present.
Yes.
They agreed to assemble.
Yes.
Assembled to agree.
Yes.
They were willing participants.
Yes.
Now here's the critical one, and we're done. See, I slid that little thing right there. Two things have to happen, and we're done. One, they proved this. This is good, Miss Anderson. They were willing participants, but here's what they did. They aligned themselves with the unusual.
Yes.
They didn't want routine church. We got to get out of thinking our church should be routine.
Come on, Pastor.
What is normal?
Come on, Pastor.
Let's just wait on the unusual. They went in that room with no agenda. I really believe they said, whatever happens, I'm going to be a part of it.
Amen.
It's right in the text. Yeah. They were not ritualistic. They didn't say, well, the order of worship, and we should read scripture, then prayer, and then we should be done. They aligned themselves. They got together saying, whatever God does, I'm in.
Amen.
See how some of y'all looking at me?
Yes.
Some of y'all came saying, we stayed too long. How long is too long? How short is too short? I tried it last week. I said, okay, let me see what happened. So I cut everything real short. And boom. And you know what? You tell me. Rich, listen, routine is dangerous. Religiosity is dangerous. Because it makes no room for God. People get up and walk out of church because it's 1 o'clock. And go where? Home. Like your house ain't going to be there. I came to worship God. So you're telling me if God don't fire you up in 30 minutes, you leaving? God, I. Now, listen, some of y'all got jobs. I understand that. If you got to be to work at 3 o'clock, unless you live on the other side of Bedford County, you can stay till we finish and make it. They didn't say, well, now, Peter, y'all got to speed this thing along. Whatever's supposed to happen, come on. They just got in line. They had a mentality for the move of God. That's all I'm saying. Last one. They aligned themselves. And here they accepted and joined in the experience of unexpected. I don't know about you, but I can hardly wait for the next unexpected thing that God does. They didn't argue. They agreed. And here's what I put down here, and I'll sit down. Just because you ain't ready for it, don't mean God can't do it.
That's right.
Woo! Just because you don't want it,
come on, Pastor,
don't mean God ain't going to give it to us.
On,
just because you don't understand it, doesn't mean the Holy Ghost is wrong for giving it to us.
Because
you don't like it or because you're not used to it. Don't stop God from doing God's stuff. When what you need is God's stuff. They didn't know what to expect.
Right.
Nobody told them what this is the first church. they said to themselves, you know what? Whatever happens, I'm here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And when the windows started rattling and the wall started shaking and the floor started trembling, they said, ooh, ain't never seen nothing like this before, but I ain't leaving. Some of y'all think you can tell God how to do it. Some of y'all don't like the way God do it. That ain't going to stop him. Just because you don't understand it don't mean it's wrong. Just because you ain't there yet don't mean we shouldn't keep going. Let God do God. And in the course, Aaron of God doing God, his good news, he'll do you. You don't ever have to leave church again unfulfilled. Let God do it. And God is so willing to do it for an unlearned people. They hadn't been to the school of bishops. They hadn't been to any great academies. These were just people who said, God, we're here. Do it. They tell them how to do it. They didn't think, well, Lord, if you do it like this, more of the people will come. No. Some of y'all need to stop that. I've had people come to you, Pastor, if you do this, maybe they'll come back. And then what am I going to do next? Why we got to keep changing rather than you just change? How about that? How about we stop trying to change God for you and you change you for God? Okay, 7 of y'all agree. I think that's a good philosophy. I think that's my selling point. God is ready to endow us with power, energy, emancipating manifestation. God is looking at us saying, if my people. Are you that people? How about, do you want to be one of them people?
Yeah.
You come in here. You leave your agenda outside. You come in here. After this day, our practice routine must change. I'm done. My last little note here says that there is a certain anointing that is available to them that are available for the anointing. Watch this, and I'm done. I know I've said that 5 times. That's minimum requirement. But here it is. It is the people that were in that room that were participants, that were present, that got the power. Here's my point. You don't want to miss the maybe Sunday.
Come on, Pastor.
You don't want to miss the maybe Sunday. What are you saying, Pastor? You don't want to stay home next week. And that just may be the Sunday. You don't want to miss third Sunday because some of y'all, that's y'all Sunday off. That just might be our Pentecost Sunday. You don't want to miss fourth Sunday or fifth Sunday. You want to be present and participating at every opportunity because it just might be. That might be our breakthrough Sunday. That might be the Sunday when all the children jump up and down and praise God. That might be the Sunday when your marriage gets back together. That may be the Sunday when God drops healing in this room. That may be the Sunday. You don't know. But that anointing falls on a people that are available for the anointing. God will move in here. I said, God will move in here. But you got to be ready to move. God will do it. Here it is. Holy Spirit, the Bible says, and the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Let me be clear, because sometimes being from Florida, my words run together. I didn't say he gave them disability. Because we act like we're a disabled church. We always whine about what we can't do. No, God gave them this ability. I can do all things. I thought I'd get more help. The power is not just in the speaking.
Yes.
It's their level of service that proved they were the church. Because everybody don't speak in tongues. Amen. See, that would be kind of jacked up if that's the only indicator. The power is in their ability to serve at a greater level. Bible said they went out, and we'll talk about it next week when we start talking about becoming the practical church. But they went from house to house and shared and did stuff. It became practical. It's the right thing to do. Because they had the ability. And everybody in this room now sitting here saying to yourself, hush. Learn, then live. This is so easy. Amen. Doors of the church are open. The opportunity for greater practice is right in front of you. You're here. You participated up until this moment. I pray. We lost a couple of folk about halfway through. I saw you. You tuned out, turned the channel, cut your subscription to cable. But I really believe that if we are going to become that greater church, it's going to take a new willingness. It's going to take a mind change. James came up here today and blessed me. He said, Pastor, you were right about what you said earlier. I like it when people come tell me I'm right. Not I don't already know, Sandra. I like when people come tell me. He said, you were right. He said, my aunt and I had that conversation some years ago. And I told her I was going to change churches. She got me. He don't mind me telling it. He said, I kept going from church to church to church. She said, James, ain't nothing wrong with the church. It's you. Because every one of them churches you went to, you brought you. And James said it settled in on him. And then he knew I must return to Brookville. For it is there that the power of the Lord is waiting for me. There my calling shall come to pass. Returneth he, did he. But he brought a different him. And I'm just telling you right now, I know y'all ready to go, and as am I. But I'm telling you now. Oh, I said 12:15. I meant 1:15. I'm sorry. That's what it was. I got confused. I was still on daylight savings time. I forgot to spring forward. I'm right on time, Larry. Spring forward. I was on the fall back. I spring forward. That's what it is. But let me tell you, you can go stand on your feet because we're really leaving. I'm going. I've got to get down the road. I'm going to take my bride to lunch, and then I'm going on. Amen. Take y'all bride to lunch too. Amen. Listen. I'm serious about this. As I mentioned in the preaching moment. The critical thing for us to work on right now is the practice. I don't mean to sound, I'm a shepherd, so I got to sound like a shepherd. The real problem for us is that we don't prepare like great performers. Melvin and I were talking about it a little while ago. I said something about the choir, and I'll tell you what I said. I said, if they ever stop being scared and just sing, y'all waste time in rehearsals, not singing like you really want to sing. Stop being afraid. Y'all got great voices. But stop worrying about out-singing anybody and just sing you, and you'll be greater. Same thing with our ministry leaders. Pat and I were talking about this, Starling, and I were talking about this with trustees. We could be much, much better as ministry leaders. Y'all just got to stop being scared. Ain't nothing around here you can mess up that bad we can't fix. And we're not going to embarrass you publicly too much. You might wind up in a sermon or two, but that's all right. I reserve the right to put you in a sermon. I may not call your whole name, might use initials or something. But ain't that big a deal? But you gotta do it. You know how it is, Chris. You will never do 50 push-ups if you don't do one. And it's gonna hurt. By the time you get to 10 or 15, your body will start rejecting it because it's not used to it. And some of y'all, the reason y'all can't sit in church, your body start rejecting it. You start wandering and drifting. My hardest, can I be honest with y'all? My hardest discipline is prayer. Because sometimes when I'm praying and I have an agenda, I'll start drifting. Because sometimes what I start praying about, I start talking about. And then next thing I know, I'm somewhere and I say, oh God, I was trying. And you got to come back. No church is greater than this. You don't need to change church, change you. We just got to practice. And you have to make some adjustments that you've never made before. You've never walked this way before. You've never done this before. There's no other place to do it but here. The people at the YMCA don't care about church. You can join Planet Fitness. They don't care if you go to church. You can be a Mason, Kiwanis, you can be in there. They don't care. So the only way you're going to become a greater disciple is in a disciple environment. It's going to take something out of you. It's going to make you give up something and change some things. But you'll be all right. Because they were present. They came. They said, all right, what are we supposed to do? Just like we used to do in the military. Hurry up and wait. But you better not leave the AO. Area of operation. Better not leave. They may be behind. But you don't get to dictate that. You can't go down and tell me the first sergeant was late, so I left. You're going to get charged. So for God's sake, let's put it into practice. You're gifted people. Touch your name and say, neighbor. I want to encourage you to know that God loves you. God wants to use you. And God's going to give you all that you could ask, think, or imagine. If you just ask it. Amen. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. And he'll give you enough time because G.E. Patterson, God bless him, once said, we will not die until everything God has proposed to us has come to pass. I've been having some anxieties lately. I'm just being honest. You know, my uncle died recently, 60-something years old. Another friend of mine died, 40-something years old. And man, I'm getting now. I just keep thinking to myself, what? How much time? And I don't know, so I'm anxious now. You know, my anxieties are not the kind that, you know, make me go sit in the closet and nothing like that. I'm not there yet. I'm going down the hallway right now. But I'm anxious, Larry. I want to see this church like I saw it. And so I keep thinking, you know, there's an old song they sang in the church back down south. Where Laura? Laura know this one. Taking us away. Taking us away. God is taking us away. That's going to be all of us. I don't want to leave with my works undone. I just really believe God has gifted me to do greater. You can call it arrogance. You can call it conceit. You can call it what you want. I call it ministry. I call it my assignment. And I'm not going to live beneath my privilege so y'all can be comfortable with me. We are greater than this. And you're not here to be lesser. You're not here to be the hindrance. If I were you, if I were anybody in this room right now, I would pray tonight, God, don't let me be that guy. You know, the one that hold up everything, the one that always getting in the way. Don't be that. Let Lord, give that gift to somebody else. Be the one that steps to the front and say, hey, pastor, let's go. Be the rally captain. Be the guy on the outside of the formation calling the cadence. Be the trumpeter. Be the, you know, cheerleader. Be the one saying, yay, us. Don't be sitting there with your arm folded up. Here we go again. Lord, I knew I shouldn't have come today. They told me he was letting everybody out early last week. Now I done come back. He back on the loan schedule. I knew it. Too good to be true. Don't worry about it. Say, shoot, I'm glad I got some of that. That was a good sermon right there. Some good stuff in there. Shoot, I started joining the church myself. Amen. Listen to me. I want you to do me one more favor. We can go home. Do me one more favor. I really need you to do this. And I'm done. I'm serious. I'm done. I need you to, and be careful here. I need you to find one somebody. You may pick your husband, your wife. I don't care who you pick. I need you to find one somebody. Take your time. Look around. And I need you to form a union. I need you to help them, and they agree to help you to practice. Pick somebody, anybody. Take your time. No, hurry up. I'm serious. Just find somebody. I mean, maybe you might be, two or three of y'all might find the same people. I don't care. But I need everybody with somebody. I don't want nobody alone. Even my brother from California, I need somebody to just be with him too. Because he's going back to California with some of this Brookville in him. Come on, grab somebody. Don't be standing here looking at me. You heard what I said. Just somebody. Thank you. Just find somebody. And I need you to look at that person and say, listen, I'm going to help you practice. I need you to help me practice. Don't let me miss practice. Don't let me renege on practice. Don't let me get tired of practice. But let's practice, practice, practice until we get greater. And when we get greater, we'll still practice. And I'm going to look for you, and I want you to look for me. I'm going to pray for you. I want you to pray for me. Come on, this is what you need to be saying to each other. I'm serious. Because we can't do this by ourselves. I'm not going to let you do it by yourself. You're not going to let me do it by myself. This is what the scripture to call as touching and agreeing. Now, y'all know, we're getting ready to go, but y'all know I'm feeling some kind of way. Because didn't nobody pick me. No, didn't nobody pick me. It's too late now. You'll be buying your own dinner today. Why ain't nobody pick me? I got on new cologne, some of that Tommy Bahama stuff. Nobody still ain't picked me. You know, this is getting kind of interesting. Jesse, me and you been together a long time. God, our Father, we thank you today. We've lived a little, learned a little, laughed a little. But these people have formed unions all around this ministry. And God, I pray that, you know, a little lighthearted, yeah, that they understood the moment. We need each other. We don't have to do this by ourselves. But if we hold each other accountable to greater, greater is going to be on our account. If we remind each other every Sunday and Thursday and Wednesday and Sunday morning that I'm looking for you, and when we don't see each other, we don't become critics, but we become encouragers. We'll ask real questions, and we'll begin to involve ourselves because our ministry matters. And these lives, these hands we're holding, people we've laughed with and side-eyed and shadowed today, they matter. From California to Virginia, from Maine to Miami, we are yet alive. And if we put it into practice, our performance level will bring you a greater glory. We are not the tail. We are the head. We're not beggars. We're lenders. We bring something of great value to every place we go. On our jobs, in our homes, even on vacation. We bring the essence of God, who says nothing is impossible. And so God, I'm holding a hand today, and a hand is holding mine. Together, we will be great. Now, Lord, touch those that are sick among us, Tim and Bodie and Sister Royal, Sister Penn, Sister Richburg, Shanisha. She's here with us today, but still got a little more journey to go. Sister Hayes, all among us, all around us. Sister Ware,
family of the late Reverend Allen, all around us. Some people are missing today. We don't really know why. But Lord, we pray that you'll bring us together. Give us the courage, the strength to pick up the phone and to stop by and say, I'm not coming to no trouble. I'm just coming to make sure you are right. And we miss you. And Pastor said today that we got to be willing. So I need your agreement. I need your spirit to say yes. And bless us. We're turning now from this place, but never your presence. And next week, Lord, we'll start all over again. If you give us this day, we'll make the best of it. Bless Pastor Corbett and the Canaan family, and getting ready next week for Pastor Charlton and the Hills Creek family. Brookville has been called to serve. And we're glad you thought enough of us to use us. Now, God, this people, their sons and their daughters, their wives, their husbands, their brothers, their sisters, their moms, their dads, crown them with glory. Put hedge round about them. Shelter them from the arrows, the fiery darts. They can defend themselves and fight the good fight. And then bring us back with good reports of see what the Lord has done. Forgive us of our sins, we pray. Bless our brother from California. Get him back home safely. Came to share with his family. Thought it not robbery to worship. Oh God, crown him with new glory. Send him back with a light that others might notice. Truly he has been in this place. For all of us, we say, bless you, my brother. Bless you, my sister. Be encouraged. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen,
amen,
amen, and amen. God bless you. Hug three or four people. Tell them I picked you, but I didn't pick you.